The forces of light and darkness are constantly warring against each other. And Pastor Ray Bentley says Revelation describes its culmination.
We are given an insider's look into a fierce battlefield in the midst of a cosmic war that has raged since the beginning of time. So what John is going to reveal to us here gives some crucial intelligence for all believers.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Did you know the Korean War never really ended? Korean war vets know this. There's just been essentially a 60-year ceasefire. Well, the battle in the heavenlies has been going on since Satan fell. And today, Pastor Ray points out how that battle plays itself out as the centerpiece of the grand last days drama.
Let us open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. The title of the message, Beyond the Veil. All right, as we see here, Revelation 12 gives us an insider's look into spiritual warfare. Now, there may be some of you who have walked with the Lord for a number of years, then you are familiar with spiritual warfare. There may be some of you that, who knows, may have just given your life to the Lord, and you're like, what are you talking about? Well, the moment that you invite the risen Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life and have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you're no longer living on the, you know, two-dimensional plane, but everything becomes 3D, so to speak. And the spiritual world is very, very real. Most people are totally oblivious to it, especially if you're not born again, or if you go to the dark side to enliven spiritual things, that's another matter. But since the beginning of time, here in chapter 12, we are given an insider's look into a fierce battlefield in the midst of a cosmic war that has raged since the beginning of time. And as I mentioned here in your notes, whenever you go into battle, it is important to know your enemy and his strategies. So what John is going to reveal to us here gives some crucial intelligence for all believers. Now, Satan was at one time, his name was Lucifer. He is the arch enemy of God, who long ago, even before this world was created, rebelled against God, and then led one third of the angels, it seems, in a rebellion against God. So one third are the demonic forces that are with him. But the good news is two-thirds of the angels remained loyal and faithful to God. So God has two witnesses in the angelic realm on his side, Michael and Gabriel and all the rest of the angels that are faithful and loyal to him. But Satan unsuccessfully tried to overthrow the paradise of God in heaven. And when he failed to do that, he sought to overthrow the paradise of God on the earth. But God stopped him right there in the garden, and he cursed him. And ever since then, Satan has been trying to ruin everything that is in God's order. The original sin, do you know what the original sin that breached into God's perfect, glorious creation? Here's what the original sin was. Five times, Lucifer said, "I will." Now, contrast that with the Messiah, Jesus, the beloved Son of God and Son of David, who prayed, had such a precious relationship with his Father, and who said, "Not my will, but thy will be done, Father." It was based on humility, mutual respect, admiration, love, and the Father glorying in the Son, and the Son glorying in the Father. The devil is basically into himself. Which has a tendency, that's his philosophy, and that's what he tries to get. That's probably what he enticed the other angels with, was the sin that got him to rebel against God. Hey, look how awesome we are. Look how awesome you are. Why do we have to let him do everything? Why don't we just start acting like him and we'll be gods? And so we got a third of the angels to join in rebellion with him. And then when God created, you know, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it became this contest. And hence, I think Satan was trying to say, see, even your darling little creation made in your own little image will want to rebel against you. And he thought that if he could get Adam and Eve to fail and to fall and to sin in the garden, he could prove his point. But unwittingly, God kind of tricked him because he fell into a trap. God knew that Adam and Eve would fail and that they would fall, but he made a plan for their redemption and restoration if they would join in relationship with him. So that's where the battle has continued and gone for a long, long time. Now, look with me in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. So here's this question. Who is this woman who is a great sign in the heavens, clothed with the sun and the moon at her feet? Where it says there a great sign, the word great in Greek is mega. And so what he is saying is this is a mega sign. Signs are things that point to the truth, that give revelation, insight, and understanding. Whoever this woman is in the heavens, clothed with the sun and the moon at her feet, and the 12 stars around her head, ready to deliver this child, is a great, awesome, mega sign from God to the world, and gives great revelation into behind the scenes, supernaturally, what is happening. It's a miraculous signpost, something that should cause men to see the hand of God in action or in history. Now, it's interesting that Virgo, I want to talk a little bit about the signs in the heavens. I want you to go with me to the book of Job. Hold your finger in Revelation. Go with me to the book of Job. If you didn't know this, the oldest book in the Bible happens to be the book of Job. And you know the whole story. Job is an interesting book, where in the first chapter, Job's walking down on earth. He's got a wife and children. He's blessed. He's prosperous. He's got all this cool stuff going on. And unbeknownst to Job, there's a little conversation going on in heaven. You remember that? Have you read that? Job chapter 1, and God's kind of bragging about his servant Job. Have you seen Job? How much he loves me and blesses me. And Satan's like, well, yeah. That's a paraphrase of the Hebrew. Yeah, you got him all hedged in and you bless him, you know, out of his socks. You take away all the goodies, he'll curse you. He won't love you anymore. He just loves you for the stuff. God goes, really? Well, let's just see. And God baited the devil into this little contest, and the story of Job begins to unfold. It's an amazing story. Some people falsely think that Job will answer the mystery of why is there suffering. It really doesn't answer that question. What it does reveal is that God has a plan, God has a purpose, God is on the throne, and ultimately the most important thing unto him is relationship. So in the end of the book, Job and God are going back and forth, and finally God is speaking to his servant Job. And what's interesting, I just point this one little thing out. Job chapter 38, beginning in verse 31, God is speaking to his servant Job on the earth, and here's what God says. Can you, Job, bind the cluster of the Pleiades? Do you know what the Pleiades are? The Pleiades are a cluster of basically, seven bright stars that are in the right shoulder of the constellation Taurus. They are called by the ancient church the seven sisters, and were seen in the heavens as a picture of the church and the seven churches. Then he goes on in verse 31, he says, or can you loose the belt of Orion? And then in verse 32, and I'm reading out of the New King James, which gives the actual Hebrew word. God asked Job, can you bring out Maseroth in its season? And the word Maseroth, if you look that up in the Strong's Concordance, you look up the definition, what is Maseroth? And it says, the signs of the zodiac. The 12 signs or constellations that are in the heavens. Now that's very strange. Then God goes on to say, or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? There is another consolation. So this is very, very unusual. Why would God be speaking of these things that are in the heavens? It's interesting that Josephus, the Jewish historian who lived contemporaneously with Christ 2,000 years ago, describes that after, you know, it handed down orally by Jewish tradition is that after Adam and Eve and the sin in the garden, it was going to be a long time before there was a Bible or before Moses would write what the beginning of the Word of God. So what did people do from the time of Adam until the time Moses started writing and the commandments and all the rest of it? What did they do? How did they know where they stood with God? What was the plan of God? And I'm paraphrasing, the tradition apparently was that until the Word would come along, God put a story of redemption of mankind through 12 pictures that were in the heavens. Now, many of you say, wait a second, zodiac, that's astrology, and people reading cards and trying to figure out their lives. Am I supposed to buy a car or not buy a car or take a job or not or marry this person, all that kind of stuff? Well, I want to say to you, yes, the Bible warns against astrology, the worshiping of the stars. No, God did not create the stars to tell you where to live and move and how to live your life on some daily basis. In fact, that part, astrology, came much later from the original Maseroth. Zodiac is Greek. Hebrew is Maseroth, and Maseroth is much earlier. It goes further back. So it was then I began to realize, I see. The devil took what God had and turned it inside out. He twisted it. That's what the devil always does.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. You may not realize how much your comments mean to us here at Maranatha Radio. They're important. We so appreciate it when we hear from our listeners.
Hello, Pastor Ray. I've been listening to your program for about 2 weeks now, and what a godsend your teaching has been. My story is probably like many others. I knew of Jesus when I was young, but as I grew older, I put him aside. I began to experience problems like emptiness, anger, etc. You know, all the requirements for Prozac. After the umpteenth letdown and several more bad choices, God decided to bless me anyway with the greatest earthly blessing ever, the true and unconditional love of my husband. I want to thank you for sharing the unconditional love of God with your listeners every day.
It's our number one goal to bless listeners and to draw them closer to the Lord as they listen to these studies. So when we hear confirmation of the impact of the program, it's encouraging and provides vital confirmation. If you have a comment to share, please don't keep it to yourself. Write a few words today. Send them to ray@raybentley.com. ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, the story goes on to say that, and this is also mentioned in history, that the 12 tribes of Israel saw those 12 signs and that the signs were taken and transposed from the 12 signs in the heavens. They remained, obviously, there as constellations, but they were transposed to the 12 tribes of Israel. So in Psalm 19, one of my favorite psalms in the Bible, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. The sun goes as a bridegroom through her chambers." What is it describing? The stars actually tell a story of redemption. And interestingly, according to the biblical Maseroth, the first sign is actually, in Latin, called Virgo. And by the way, what does Virgo mean in English? Virgin. Where does the gospel begin? Isaiah 7:14, it begins with a virgin who conceived and brought forth a child. Now, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but if you go all the way around from 1 to number 12, the 12th sign that God put in the constellations is called Leo, or the lion. Who did this child who was born of the virgin become? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Now, if you're interested in reading more, there's a couple of books I can recommend. One is called The Witness of the Stars, written by Bullinger about 100 years ago. And here's a more recent one called The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, Dr. James Kennedy. It doesn't add or change anything to the gospel we already know, but it is rather interesting. You have these 12 signs, these 12 pictures. They've been transposed. Why did the devil come along and mess with it? Because he knew that people, even in ancient times, could see through the stars the story of God's love. And it was to bring glory to God. It was to point to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. What does Satan do? He turns the stars around and says, the stars aren't about God and the Messiah and redemption. The stars are about you, which is his own philosophy. He's into himself. But that's not what it was about. So going back to the original, we have something interesting. Now here's what, I want you to go back with me now to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now a great mega sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now, the sun going through its chambers, Psalm 19 was talking about, it takes about 30 days or 31 days for the sun to go through each one of the 12 constellations, and that's where we get our 12 months of the year. So it's a type, really, of the glory of God. The sun becomes, in a sense, a natural picture of the glory of God. His face shining, it says, sometimes like the sun, and going through these various chapters of the story of Revelation. So it's very interesting. Now, who is this woman? Let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. Who is this woman? And I believe that this woman is symbolic for many reasons of Israel. It was, of course, through Israel that Messiah came into the world. Now, let's begin with Genesis chapter 37, verse 9. And let's read that scripture out loud together. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. Okay, who had this dream? Joseph had this dream. He kept having dreams. And in the dreams, he was, wow, mom, dad, all my brothers, you guys are all bowing down to me. Isn't that awesome? Yes, I love these dreams. Now, you can imagine that did not make him the most popular son in the family. So Joseph, some of his brothers want to kill him, and then an older brother says, we can't kill him. That's a little too harsh, but we could sell him as a slave for the rest of his life. So they throw him into slavery. He ends up going down to Egypt, and they lose track of him. And interestingly, if you haven't read the story of Joseph, read it in the book of Genesis. Joseph becomes a powerful type of Jesus Christ himself. Among his own family, who is so favored that he provokes jealousy, who is then taken, thrown into a pit, only Christ was crucified, buried. Then he goes to the, as it were, Gentile world. Where's Joseph? He's in Egypt. Where does he end up? Sitting at the right hand of Pharaoh, ruling the entire kingdom. Where is Christ? Risen, ascended, seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, ruling the whole world, as well as the universe and heaven and earth. But his own family doesn't know him. And the story of Joseph's brothers coming, they see him and he looks like a Gentile, so they don't recognize him. And there are many, not all, but there are many Jewish people who do not recognize Jesus. They go, he's the Gentile God for all the Christians. But in reality, in the end, Joseph begins to slowly reveal himself. And finally, he breaks down weeping and speaking in Hebrew, saying, you guys, it's me, your brother. Your Jewish brother, Joseph, look, I'm ruling the whole world. You guys are having a famine. Tell Dad it's okay. I'm running the whole show. And this glory, that is a type of Jesus in the end of days revealing himself to his people and Israel and the glorious kingdom coming and sitting upon the throne of David there in Jerusalem and Israel and all the nations flowing together to lift up and honor and praise the Messiah. Now let's go to the New Testament, Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. So now this is after the church has already been born on the Feast of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's poured out. There is a church now, but here's what Paul says about Israel. Romans 9, verse 4. Let's read it out loud. The people of Israel, theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. In the Old Covenant, Israel is often compared to a woman. Now, some see the woman as the church, But that would mean that the church gave birth to the Messiah rather than the other way around. So I can't quite see that. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let's read this out loud. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. If you have a pen or a pencil, underline the phrase, one new man. That is the heart of the Father, to make and to create one new man. And that's what his heart has always been, and to bring many sons and many daughters to glory.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with our studies based in Revelation chapter 12. And he has more to come from this message here on Maranatha Radio. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD. We'll be glad to send it your way for a gift of any size. Get in touch and ask for the message called Beyond the Veil. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're excited to tell our listeners about a novel idea you had. What was that novel idea? It was the idea to write a novel.
Yes.
Isn't that a little unusual for a pastor, you know, to jump into the literary fiction pool?
You know, it is. And thankfully, I have help on this. I didn't write it alone. I wrote it with one of the premier Christian fiction writers for the last several decades. Her name is Bodhi Taney. Along with her husband, Brock Taney, they have been a team that for decades, many, many people have read their books, the Zion Chronicles, the rebirth of Israel, kind of historical, true, but fictional characters that fill in the story. She's sold over 35 million copies of her books. And recently, by God's providence, we met. And I told her, wow, I've read your books. I'm so amazed, so impressed. And I said, look, I don't know if you've ever done this before. As far as I know, you've never co-written with anybody. And so Bodhi said, well, her and Brock, you know what? We're not going to say no. We have never done this before. We've never accepted many people that have wanted or tried to write with us, but let us pray about it. So they went and prayed about it. My translation is they went and did some research, find out if I was a nut or if I was okay. And they said, well, I guess he's okay. And they came back and they said, we would consider it. And so we got together, we met Brock and Bodhi, myself and my wife, and I told them my thoughts, my ideas. And Bodhi said, we're on. We're in, and we're super excited. We believe that God reserved us. We've never written about modern Israel and prophetic things. It's always been in the past. And so it was kind of like, you know, what's happening right now in the Middle East and the building of the temple, the coming of the Lord, and everything that's happening in Jerusalem. So I am so excited about it. I can't wait for people to read it. I want them to get this book. It's called On the Mountain of the Lord. The eyes of the world for 70 years have been focused on Israel. But recently, the inside of that is the eyes of the world are focused on the city of Jerusalem. That's what this book is all about. There's one mountain that is the most controversial mountain in heaven and on earth, because it's that mountain that God sent his son Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. It was to that mountain he came and died. It's that mountain where he was buried. It's that mountain he rose from the dead. It's that mountain he ascended into heaven. And Dave, to the very same mountain he's coming back. The Mountain of the Lord. So I can't wait for people to read it. They're going to love it.
Yeah, they are. And once again, the title of this new novel is On the Mountain of the Lord. Get in touch today for your own copy. We'll send it to you to thank you for your donation. You choose the amount. But remember that your support is what makes it possible for us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day. So get in touch today for your copy of On the Mountain of the Lord. Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order online at raybentley.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Revelation. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world.
Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.